You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 16th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mel. How you doing, Mel?
Good morning, Taryn. I'm so good. I'm so excited to finally have a chance to talk about the season. I'm here with my March of the Moose. I'm here with my normal-sized eyebrows, and I'm ready to talk about the shenanigans from yesterday.
And you can't be bringing normal-sized eyebrows to this update. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I know everyone had quite the experience yesterday.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 17. In the house, and we finally had a bit of an off day here in terms of strategy, at least. You know, I know I often say things like this, but this should be a shorter one.
but genuinely
though, because like you know, normally when there's like slower days, I'm used to slower days. But today I was used to packed days, and so I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I'm not complaining at all, but I felt a little robbed that like every update in the past week, they're like, yes, this is gameplay we've never seen before. There's so much going on, and I'm like turning on my feeds yesterday. Okay, what are they going to give me today? And we got a fashion show.
Fashion show.
It was very fun. It was a fun day to watch, but I feel a little sad that, I mean, we'll talk about some strategy, but yeah, it was definitely a more chill day in the house.
Yes. We'll see how the update goes. So we started the day. Vic is pissed. She is not happy about what happened yesterday. In particular, I think the thing that has pissed her off the most is that, hold on, I'm getting rid of Toya so I can work with these guys, and Beth is walking in here with them, arguing with them. Beth is with these guys.
When you said what really pissed her off, I thought you were just going to say Beth, like that was just going to be it. Beth pissed Victoria off.
Yes.
Yeah.
She cannot believe that Beth is with these guys. And she's like, I want to go. I want to tell those guys that Beth wanted Toya out. That's what I'm going to. They shouldn't be with Beth. That's no good. It's no good.
But they're all in an alliance. So wouldn't it matter if she wanted Kiefer out, it's still someone in the alliance, right? Why would she be so mad that Beth wants LaToya out when she wants LaToya out?
So, well, what she's saying is that I think from Victoria's perspective, right? She's like, I think again, this pitch to Ty and Jed was genuine. She wants to work with them. And she thought that by getting rid of Toya, that they would now have to choose her. And remember that she was like, oh, me and player A, AKA Beth, were upset that the boys picked Toya over them. And so now she's like, I'm going to get rid of Toya. Now they're going to have to pick me. And she's found that, hold on, they've already picked Beth. They've already picked player A over player V.
It's unforgivable. And especially because Beth is being such a flip-flopper, they don't even deserve Beth. I don't know. She just hates Beth from just all these angles.
She's going to be she goes off about Beth to multiple people and then interacts with Beth in the Expedia room, and Beth leaves and she's like, I hate you.
Kudos to Victoria, though. She was like, maybe this is just me not knowing her very well, but I thought they were having a great conversation. Like, she was being very polite and like, oh yeah, I love you, girl. I love you too. And then she leaves and Victoria immediately double bird, just like you said, so pissed. And I was like, damn, like, I knew she didn't like Beth, but like, props to being able to, I don't know, pretend.
Beth is her next target. She wants Beth gone next. 1,000%. What? Victoria versus Toya was round one. Victoria versus Beth, I guess, is going to be round two.
Do you think she regrets not having them try to save Kiefer so she could put Beth up and just like really make sure that that happened this week? Or is she really confident that even though she's saying Kiefer's her target, that LaToya will actually leave and she doesn't need this kind of backup plan?
Oh, she's if Toya was staying, then she'd have to do Toya first and then Beth. She's very confident. Toya's already gone in her mind.
Right. But she's so paranoid about a flip, as we've heard many, many, many times, that I'm surprised that it didn't even like come across her mind. I know obviously
Toya can't
have saved
flip if she's on the block.
Oh, yes.
That's
of course.
The logic.
Yes.
And oddly, Toya is doing the least amount of work to flip the vote yet as she's on the block. Now,
I don't know if I should have my rant here or should I save it for later about LaToya's campaigning?
She's campaigning, but like I don't want to say that she's doing nothing, but like in comparison to the work that she has put in the past, it is a bit lackluster. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it right now then. Okay. So LaToya starts out the morning by talking to, I think it was Tina and Tara, yep, by like, you know, I'm not going to bother campaigning to Rohan and Kyle, and I'm not going to bother campaigning to, well, actually later on, she said she's not going to campaign to Tina and Toya. So it must not, so many T names. Well, anyways, she tried, is going to campaign she tried to with Austin Tina, and Brayden.
Yeah, she tried to Tina with Tina and Tara, and then she was like, that didn't go well. I'm not going to bother with them anymore. Okay.
But yeah, so she's like, oh, she's putting all of her eggs in the Austin and Brayden basket, and then her campaign to them is a 1-minute pitch to Austin, like, we're good, right? Like, I'm not going to say your name. And they're like, yeah, we're good. Okay, that was good with Austin. Now I'll get Brayden later. I was like, what? There's like a 30-minute conversation of Kiefer later talking to them. And I know that this is just one day snippet in the grand scheme of things, and she has a good relationship with them, but everyone does. That's Austin and Brayden's game. You can't just be like, oh, I feel good with them, therefore I'm putting my entire game in their basket based on a couple minutes of conversation because we like each other. Like, I expected so much more from her.
Mm-hmm. And of course, part of the problem is that there is still some level of ambiguity in terms of who the actual target is and who should be leaving. But yes, LaToya is definitely asleep at the wheel here.
I feel like at any point in the day, LaToya herself is confident in like either she's the target or she's not the target. And I can't tell what she truly believes and if she's just changing it based on who she's around or if she also doesn't know. But yeah, at times they're like, oh yeah, it's definitely Kiefer. Like, I'm fine. We're good. Our alliance is going to be great. And then sometimes she's like, nope, I'm the target. I'm definitely the target. Like, Victoria's lying. I'm the target. So I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think that logic would tell her that she's the target, but, hope would tell her that she's not, and those things are conflicting with each other.
And I can't fault her for wanting to think along the lines of, no, I'm not the target. Like, let's just proceed with that, because it can be so hard to get all up in your head and I'm the target. I need to save myself. And that can kind of rattle someone.
Yeah. Well, Ty and Beth are going to talk for a bit in the morning. They talk about how frustrated they are with the current situation. That the things have panned out the way that they did, that they really
so
screwed
frustrated.
This up.
Things are so crazy in the house. So yeah. Crazy.
They really should have just done the flip or not done the flip. They shouldn't have been doing what they did. And now they're in a bad spot. They're gunning for Kyle, Roe, and Vic. And then the other side is going to be gunning for them, Ty, Jed, and Beth. And the floaters of the game are just like Tina, Tara, Austin, Brayden, they're just going to float to the end and there's nothing we can do about it.
Josh is sitting at home watching feeds going,
Josh is like,
me.
Damn it. If I just made one more round, I would have been good. Yeah. And so Beth is like, okay, well, I mean, I almost want to make like a truce with Kyle and Roe to take out the floaters. And Ty at this point correctly points out the problem with that is that we'll just end up trying to be the first one to break the truce, and somebody will take a shot and it just won't work.
I love this conversation, though. It's like we get to this point in the game and we always talk about split houses where it's really exciting at first. And then they kind of, it's just two sides taking shots at each other. But even now we have two sides and they're like, okay, what if we go with them? What if we pull the floaters that are on the other side onto our side, and people are leaving alliances and forming their own alliances? And I'm just really excited because it seems like this is not just going to be two sides going at each other.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Ty is completely correct. This notion of let's call a truce is as old as there have been two sides of Big Brother, right? And in any season where there are two sides, there's always one side that ends up dominating the other, right? And you can always point back to how did that happen? What was the key moment there? Obviously, one of the major things is just they end up winning more competitions. But there's always one key moment where one of the sides gives up one of their advantages. And that, of course, is they give up one of their HOHs to help the other side, essentially. I'm talking about Howie in season 6. Thinks that he can call a truce with Maggie and go after James in the middle. I'm talking about Fessy in season 20, who thinks that it's a good idea to go after Scotty, who's in the middle. It's never
a good thing when you're compared to Fessy.
Yes. And in even Kaser, as I've talked about before in All Stars, thinking that he can call a truce with Dr. Will and go after the floaters. It never works. It never works because it's pointless. You are giving up something for a promise of something in return that once you've given that up, they have no obligation to give it back to you.
That's what I loved about Victoria. You give them the power. Yeah, what I loved about Victoria yesterday, as very, very flawed as her arguments were and all her lies were, she was like, no, like this is happening this week. If you want to do a truce, we'll do it next week. And I know that's really hard to process when it's like you're actively getting one of us out. But it's like, if you are coming to me wanting to work with me, which is what's happening, we can talk about it later. I'm not going to give you this thing and then we can work together. Because like you said, they can just leave and they would. So it's like if they're actually serious about working with her, they'd be like, OK, fair enough. We didn't have an alliance last week. We rejected your alliance, although they seem to be in denial about that. We'll try again later. Like this isn't, we're never working together ever again. It's a, I'm open to an alliance, but not right this second when only you guys benefit from me changing my mind.
I think maybe if she actually was saying that instead of, okay, well, yes. instead of what she's actually saying, right?
That's what I meant. It was very flawed, but the kernel of what at least I saw that she was trying to communicate and in some of her, I know this is a very complicated
I think that if she was talking to Kiefer and saying, look, Kiefer, you are just the pawn here. I would love to make some kind of deal with you next week while I take out your allies. That is the way forward, right? And that's the conclusion of this two side thing. You cannot make a truce with the other side and go after the floaters because you're mad at the floaters because they're in a good position. That just doesn't work. What you have to do is make connections with the other side and give them reasons to feel like you as an individual are good for them as an individual. Give them motive to try to protect you on your side. The only way through a team game is by being the last one standing on your team. If you end up losing the HOHs, right? Number one, win the HOHs, dominate the other team, great. If that doesn't work for you, you need to be the survivor on your team. You need to convince the other team that there's a good reason to keep you in the game. And to go beyond that, if you have people on the other side who start infighting because they feel like you're good for their game, and then there's another player who feels like there's another player on your team that's good for their game, and they start fighting over it and they start flipping the vote back and forth, now all of a sudden you might be forming cracks in their side. The last thing you want to do is form a truce, form some kind of alliance with the other side where you're just helping bond them together and they're just going to take a shot at you if you give up your advantage. So,
but doesn't she genuinely want to work with Jed and Ty? And like we said earlier, Beth is just the problem. And she told Kiefer he's a pawn. Like she would probably want to work with Kiefer. And to be honest, Kiefer would probably work with her, unless I'm missing something. Jed and Ty obviously wouldn't, but I feel like that's what she's going for, and that I do want to work with these guys. These are the people I'd be willing to make a truce with, which I think is what she was attempting to do by coming to them after and saying, I wasn't going to put you up. Like, she's trying to make amends.
Again, right. The problem,
not
though,
defending
is that
her
she's
move
still,
because it didn't work.
She's but. Still lying to their faces about so many things, like,
sure.
Like pretending that Toya isn't her target. Like, and saying that the reason that she can't work with them is because they called her smart. And you know, like so many other things where it's just like I'm targeting you, but I'm not targeting you. I don't trust you, which is why I'm doing this. Like, I think that, again, like, once the sides are established, and in the part of this too, is that she is kind of creating the sides, but once the sides are established, there is a way that you can, like, say if Kyle or Ro won next week, that they could be like, hey, Ty and Jed, we don't want to take out each other. Sure. But obviously there are two sides. We can't just take out a floater right now. That would complete the odds would be against us next week in the HOH. We have to take out one of your numbers, but let's try and be the last people remaining on each other's teams. Let's take out the other numbers from our teams. We're going to go after Beth, right? Like, we're going to go after Beth. Sorry, Ty and Jed. I know you like Beth. I know you I know Beth is fun, but Beth has to go. And we will continue to not go after you. We will go after Kiefer next. We will go after, you know, whoever next. When you win, you don't go after Austin. Instead, you go after Austin and Brayden or Vic or whoever, right?
And I do think that's what she's trying to do in, like, trying to get in good with them so that she's not the next target. Like, she's done so much
disagree.
This week that she
I'm going to disagree.
No, I'm saying that's what she's trying to do. She's not accomplishing it.
I don't
she's
think
going
that's what she's
to
trying to do, though. I think that.
Well, that's why she would tell them that she didn't, that she's trying to be like, no, I was never actually going to put you up if I use the veto. She's trying to get, she made such a mess this week. She's obviously the number one target. She's trying to be like, look, I'm good with you. If I win again, I'm not going to put you up. So get with these other guys on the other side. They're actually going to put you up if they win next week, and they can. Versus me, who, yeah, totally screwed you over this week, but I'm not going to do it again. And again, it's not believable, but I think what she's trying to do is be that person that they're going to leave for a couple of weeks while they get out some of the bigger targets.
I have not seen anything to indicate that that Victoria's head is in that direction. Personally, I think that what I've seen from her is very much like, Toya is my target right now, because she's with the guys. If Toya's gone, maybe I can be with the guys. But not necessarily in a, like, a long-term strategy sense where she feels like the guys won't come after me. In fact, she now knows that the guys are for sure coming after her. And it has not changed her plan whatsoever. She's just annoyed that that relationship has soured. And she,
so why
she
would
hasn't
she tell Ty that she wouldn't have? Why would she tell Ty she wouldn't have put him up then? What would her otherwise be her motivation for that?
She's gaslighting them. That's what it is.
But just for funsies?
Yeah, because
like,
she's
be
trying
sort
to
of
avoid blame,
it.
Right? Like obviously, that conversation she had with them, there was no strategic merit to it. Because if there was any strategic merit to it, it would have gone very differently, right? Like, the entire purpose was to avoid blame for the move. Because she didn't want them to be mad at her. And then when she found out they were mad at her, she got very upset.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. we do get Toya pitching to Tina and Tara. We talked about this a little bit. She says that she'll be gunning for, you know, like Vic and Kyle. Those are her targets. But it's a very, this is not a pitch from, you know, the Toya who used to be Tina and Toya, or Toya and Tina, right? Like, there's no,
all the words sound the same to me.
It's like, their relationship is just soured so much, to the point that they seem like strangers. Like, she doesn't even go to Tina individually. She goes to Tina and Tara. And there's no, like,
can you blame her, though? Is there ever Tina
yes.
without Tara?
like, hey, I mean, she has no problem, obviously. Like, hey, Tina, can I talk to you? Talk
yeah,
to
no,
Tina
she definitely
individually
can do that.
And be like, Tina, what happened with us? You know, like, did I do something wrong? Like, can we please talk this out? Because, like, even without the game, like we were really close, and I don't want to lose you as a friend, and I just feel like we've been drifting apart. Just get to the bottom of it, right?
Is that something LaToya would do, though? She should do it. Yes. Is that who she is, though? Because I don't think it is. I don't think she's the kind of person that would have that kind of conversation.
I mean, obviously not, right? But I would like for her to, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
I feel like that's what she needs. She needs to have, and maybe it's not approached like that, but she needs to have some kind of conversation with Tina about where their relationship has gone, because it's drifted apart and she's just let it. And she needs Tina's vote.
It's been really interesting to see LaToya's relationships this week, and like when she's pitching to people, she's pitching like what she would want to hear. She's like, well, we have a good relationship. Like, we have an understanding. We both like the game and look at it the same way. And I'm not going to put you up. So keep me. Like, that's the only logical kind of solution. And she doesn't have these kind of emotional conversations. Like, obviously she does, but not while pitching. Like, I don't think she would ever go to Tina and try and form the emotional bond back as a way to keep herself. She would be like, well, I pitched the game reasons to keep me, and that should be enough. That's my read on LaToya, at least.
Yeah. And that is definitely the weakness here, for her game right now. She's also going to campaign, as we talked about, to Braden and Austin. But it's, again, it's very perfunctory. It's now, granted, I will say, with Braden and Austin, or Braden at the very least, she has been making inroads socially. She has been hanging out with Braden. The night before, she was like chatting with Braden in bed, and they were like joking around. She is forming some kind of social relationship with Braden to make the campaign a little bit more effective. And we do hear Braden kind of talk about the idea of what if LaToya stayed, but it doesn't go anywhere. There's very little chance that I think anything would happen here. But
there's not really a lot of incentive for Braden and Austin to keep her, like to use this capital that they have to switch the vote to keep her, right?
Right. I mean, it's again, like Toya can try to sort of frame it like, hey, I'm close to you. Kiefer's close to Kyle and Roe, but the problem is that obviously Kiefer's not close to Kyle and Roe after the blow up. Is Kiefer close to Vic? No. The problem is that, like, no matter what she does, even if she sort of like propositions herself as like, hey, I'm an asset to you, it falls flat. I think that she could maybe say Kiefer is with Tina and Tara, right? Kiefer's with Tina and Tara. I'm with you. You get rid of me, you give more power to Tina and Tara, and you have less power. It's hard to say that out loud, because when you say that out loud, it just makes you seem like you're too calculated and that you're too dangerous to keep in the game. But by hanging out with Austin and Braden and being like, look how much of an asset I am to you, it gives them a little bit more incentive to keep you around. But I do think that she needs to be doing more strategic pitching to them. Which is funny, because I think that she needs to do the opposite with Tina and Tara, and she needs to be hanging out with them more and talking with them more. But she needs to get to work here a little bit faster. And the problem is, again, I don't think it'll ever work with Austin Braden. I really think that, you know, when I say she should work harder on them, what I really mean is she should give up on them and work on Tina and Tara in the way that I proposed before. But
which she's never going to do, because she's counting completely on them.
In lieu of that, go for Austin and Braden, because there's always a chance, right?
And it's so disappointing, because I really would love to see her stay. I think that she's in a really interesting spot. And I love the way that she is different from some of these other quote unquote emotional players that they often talk about. And I think her staying would be really interesting. Both her and Kiefer have written off Rohan and... gosh, names.
Kyle.
Bad Kyle. Is there any point of pitching to them? They kind of already leaning to her already, especially with the whole Kiefer.
I think there's absolutely a reason to pitch to Roe and Kyle. They are players who will look. Roe and Kyle, much more so than Austin and Braden, I think will be willing to flip this vote, which may sound counterintuitive because they're the ones that have been gunning so hard for Toya for so long. But Braden and Austin are not like active game players. Like, they're just going to go with the flow. You can pitch to them all you want. You can make it clear to them that it is in their best interest to keep you around 100%. And they would still be like, yeah, but
if the votes are there.
It's not what the group is doing.
Yeah.
Kyle and Roe, on the other hand, if they smell an advantage in the game, they actually might take it. The problem is that you need to convince them that it's a genuine advantage, right? If you are actually able to convince Kyle and Roe and appeal to their greed and say, hey, me staying in the game is going to secretly be great for you, then they'd flip the vote. I think they would. The problem is, how do you do that? Again, you kind of have to hang out with them a little bit more. Convince them that you can coexist with them in the house. You need to start talking to them about strategy. Start talking to them about how, you know, talk to them like Ty and Jed want to talk to them about how, look, we're going to kill each other. The floaters are going to get by. I don't like that. Kiefer is one of those floaters. You keep Kiefer around, you're just adding to the pile of people who won't be targeted in this war of two sides. You're adding to the pile of people that will crush any remaining power players in the game once we're done killing each other, right? Keep me around. I'm a big target like you. We need big targets around. Get rid of the weaker players on my team. I'll get rid of the weaker players on your team. Same thing I'm telling Ty and Jed to pitch to them. And we can make this work. If you get rid of me and the status quo remains in place, then if one of my side wins, you're gone. And if one of your side wins, sure, you'll get rid of Ty or Jed, but that will just keep going until all of you are gone and the Kiefers of the world will end up in the finals. Don't let that happen, right? That's kind of, I think, what she has to try to pitch to them. But also, again, hang out with them, bond with them a little bit, talk to them about their lives, make them convinced that not only are you an asset in that sort of overarching scope, but also in the macro scope, right? In the sense that, like, I have a personal relationship with you now. I'm actually, like, with you. I will like protect you with my people because you have me, right? And I have you, and we've created something real here. And you've tried it with the guys before, and it keeps falling flat. You've never really tried it with me. Let's try for this, right?
That'd be so great if it happens. I hope we see it. I feel like LaToya is a little bit in her own head. Like, whenever we see her talk to her alliance, it's just so like, I've stayed true to myself. She's really big on like not lying and being loyal and kind of playing that sort of game. And I feel like it'd be really hard for her to kind of get over that mental, oh, talking to these guys that aren't in my alliance to help me. Like, she feels like she's in an alliance with Austin and Brayden, but to talk to these guys who are on the other side, when she spends so much time talking to, like, for example, Jed later, and it's like, oh yeah, we're so like the non-emotional players, like our alliance is the best. I feel like that'd be really hard for her to be like, well, actually, maybe I should do this, but I really hope we see it.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All right. Well, Tina and Tara are going to talk a bit amongst themselves. Tara asks Tina what she would do if she won HOH. Tina says that she would probably put up Ty and Jed at this point. They are fully with the oddballs, these two. And Tara agrees. That's kind of what they would do. So that is where they stand at the moment. They still feel like that other side is stronger. And I can kind of see why. Again, Vic is kind of out on her own in the oddball group. Then you have Kyle and Roe, you have Austin and Brayden. It's pairs and it's an individual. On the other side, you have a very strong trio of Jed, Ty, and Beth. And Kiefer is still loyal to them to some degree. So they are a stronger side still, even though they lack numbers. And you can kind of see where Tara and Tina would feel a little bit more comfortable on the other side. If they won HOH later in the night, they are going to talk and kind of realize, you know what? It's probably better for us if we don't win HOH. We don't need to be making these moves. Let's look at the HOH and make a call on that. Which I think is the even better move. They have no business winning HOH.
Yeah, absolutely. They said if they saw something that was like their competition and they could win, they'd go for it. But otherwise, it's like, actually, let's just kind of let, like, unless this anti-floater uprising kind of comes out, like, they should be good for a little bit.
Yeah. We also are going to see Kiefer's going to be searching for powers. Victoria's going to be searching for powers. LaToya is going to be searching for powers.
Big Brother was very mean to us yesterday.
Yes. So, I talked about this last night, but there was a lot of speculation about this. LaToya found a purple ball in the ball pit, and the camera focused on like a blue ball at one point. And these balls are like a little bit bigger than the others. And they're a little bit different. There were people thinking that this might mean something, and it certainly could. These balls have been found before. The house guests have seen the purple balls. Toya talks to Beth afterward and says she found a purple ball, and Beth was like, oh yeah, the boys found two of those the other day. These have been found before. This is not something new. The thing that is new is that there was a sound effect that came over the loudspeakers that was like wah wah, and then everyone ran to the have not room and the feeds cut. But when they came back up, there was no real mention of what happened, and it didn't seem like there was anything that actually changed. So,
and they're only down for like 5 minutes. So it wasn't like they were down for an hour and then just everyone was hush hush. Yeah,
exactly. So it doesn't seem like anything is happening here. If there was something that was going to happen, it would be queued up in the episodes. And also the feeds would be down for any kind of genuine searching, right? Like, I don't think we're ever going to see the person find the thing on the feeds. If this was to happen, the feeds would be down for like 5 hours. And then somebody would be like, oh yeah, everyone was locked in the HOH room and I was in the have not room searching the ball pit. That's how they like to do their twists.
Yeah. Yeah. But Big Brother was zooming in on the ball pit and doing these fancy shots, and TikTok Canada was liking tweets about the ball pit. And it was just a lot of, oh yeah, there's maybe something, and there was nothing. And I agree with you. I don't think it'll be anything. It's probably going to be like the files room from Big Brother Canada 7, where there's a lot of stuff to notice and things are different and things can be paid attention to, and they're counting these weird balls and nothing's going to happen for 4 weeks until they want it to, and then something will happen.
Yeah. So we also had a fashion show.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
this was the day.
Big Brother Canada tradition. We're putting some makeup on the guys. And then they also dressed up and they did a whole fashion show.
I don't even know where to start. I think it started as makeup, like, oh, we're just going to do the guys' makeup. And then as the guys were kind of really getting into it, it's like, let's have a show. Let's like put on some clothes. And then they picked some alter ego names and got really into it. It was really fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have fun, Taryn?
You know, I had fun with a bit of a day off.
Were you the Kiefer who was just sitting on the couch like, I don't understand why I'm here? And then later he's like, I'm so glad they didn't do it to me.
I was like, awesome. I can get other work done as I keep glancing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're still doing it. Yeah, they're still doing it. Perfect.
I don't know how much we want to cover because I'm sure it'll be on the show.
Genuinely, like I'm sure it was very fun. I probably would have had fun watching it, but these feeds have been so chaotic over the last 2 weeks that I was really like, I'm taking advantage of this. This is not something that is relevant to the strategic gameplay, apart from the fact that the whole house seems to be bonding over it. I know Tina was having a lot of fun. I know that Toya was interacting a lot more with Brayden and Austin during this. So there are some slight things that, you know, were sure kind of cool. But yes, it was a very long fashion show and people had a lot of fun with it.
Well, I'll try and give you some highlights. So we had pairs of people. So the girls did the guys' makeup. And so we had Beth and Kyle paired up, which was strange considering I don't think they're super great terms. We had Brayden and Ty, LaToya and Jed, and Austin and Roe. And my comment at the beginning of this about eyebrows was because Beth gave Kyle the worst eyebrows ever. They were giant caterpillars. They were so dark. It was so bad. You're definitely going to see it on the show, so I don't need to go into it.
I've seen it. I feel like this is exactly what happened to Ika. Like, when Gary gave
Ika's Ika. Ika's were kind of just long and very dark. They were like kind of around the eyes. These were just like boom, boom, caterpillars on my face. But this did lead Kyle into turning into a very interesting character later on. Mm. So we have, I'll read their names. So we got Taisha, Kylie, Jediah, and Rosalia. And they got all dressed up. We had a fabulous sequin coat and a beautiful, beautiful headpiece and earrings. And then Kyle decided to lean into the fact that he had not the most beautiful makeup. And he smoked some darts and he had a voice that was like this. Should I spoil the results of the fashion show, Tara? Or do you want to make everyone find out on the show?
Well, this is what we're updating everything.
Everything. Okay. Yeah. If you don't want to know the results of this very contentious show, then skip ahead a little bit. We had Kylie won Miss Congeniality. I don't remember why. I think they felt bad for him, the voice. And then Rosalia won Best in Show. And Taisha's face was robbed. Unbelievable.
I felt like Ro looked the best.
Ro did look very, very good. They all looked very good. Well, I thought Kylie,
they killed it with Ro's makeup.
And then they had some interview questions about like, what would your perfect date be? Things like that. They really leaned into their characters. Taisha and Rosalia said they are not cheap dates. Fly me out or I'm not going. Jediah had a poem, a very beautiful poem. Kylie said they just need 6 or 7 darts. They'll lick an ashtray. Very easy. So yeah, it was, if you want some ridiculousness after this last many, many days of really interesting strategy, go watch the fashion show.
Go for it.
But otherwise, it's fine. You don't have to watch it. I summarized it.
All right. Well, the only other thing really to talk about here is that Jed, Ty, and Beth did talk toward the end of the night they're sort of playing around the idea of what I was talking about earlier. Should we genuinely do this? Should we maybe go to Kyle and Ro and propose some kind of truce and say like, hey, What if we won, we put up like Tara and Vic, right? Like we put up these like floater sort of outside. Obviously, they don't really fully, again, see that Vic is with. And honestly, I think that Kyle and Ro would be like, Vic, sure. Go for it. And then they'd probably try to vote out. Or no, you know what? They might actually vote out Vic. I don't know. But either way, this is a bad idea. If they actually wasted an HOH on Tara,
they'd be so screwed.
Yeah, this is the end of their game. So I don't think it'll happen. You never know. You never know.
So at the end of the night, the guys kind of all hung out in the hot tub and then Beth popped in and out and the guys all seemed to really get along. Like I'd be really interested to see if Jed or Ty won HOH, would they put up Kyle and Ro? Like it seems like they have kind of a working relationship. You know, I don't think I've seen them talk game, but they could.
I think there's a decent chance it falls on Vic, to be honest. I think that there's a chance that it could fall it could land on Vic or Tara, but I think it would probably land on Vic. I think that they would be like, hey, Kyle and Ro, we're keeping you safe. And I think that's the move. I think the move is to take out Vic, make it seem like, hey, Vic is the one that came for us. We're keeping you two safe. We're going to take a shot at Vic here. And you take out somebody that is good at competitions on the other side. And you kind of forge some kind of, you know, hopefully they see that and they think, oh, well, next time we'll take a shot at Bray and Austin. And here's the thing. You put up Vic with Bray or Austin as the pawn.
I was going to say too.
Piss them off, right? They're my enemies. Now, after Vic is gone, it's Austin and Brayden who still hate our guts, right? You know that we're still going after them. Don't come after us, right? Look at the other people on our team that might come after you over Austin and Brayden.
And that way they're not leaving the possibility open for a flip to get Tara out. And then they're back and just against this big alliance. Mm-hmm.
We did see a little bit this morning that Tara, Tina and Kiefer were talking about what to do moving forward. And Kiefer says he does want to be here. And he says that he is still going to be loyal to the Sunsetters, but he does see clearly now that he is an expendable member of the Alliance. And so he is most loyal to Tina and Tara. It does seem like Kiefer will be joining the sort of floaters group here with Tina and Tara. He wants to call them the pre-90s because they'll be the only ones left that were born pre-90s.
When you're thinking of an Alliance name, think of something they can put on the show. The Sunsetters. Great Alliance name. Pre-90s. What does that even look like? Are they going to put like scrunchies?
Kiefer just likes
them?
Alliance names that make his Alliance members seem old.
What was the other one?
Sunsetters and 390s.
Is Sunsetters old?
There were so many people that thought that the Sunsetters was because that had the old people in it.
What if Sunsetters have to do with old people?
It sounds like the name of a retirement home.
Sounds like the name of a fun beach resort. The Sunsetters.
A fun beach resort that is also a retirement home, maybe.
Sure. Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't like this name as much. I hope they come up with something better because I really like this pairing. And yes. Kiefer not wanting to be in the Alliance is entirely their fault because they've spent so much time this week talking in front of Kiefer and LaToya. Like, they'll just start sentences with like, oh yeah, and next week, like when LaToya is here, or oh yeah, oh, and we'll have to get Kiefer. And they just like trail off. It's like, yeah, Kiefer's gone. Oh yeah, Kiefer, you're right here. We can't finish that sentence. Like, at least pretend to be sad or something, or stop having these conversations in front of him. Like, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, and this confirms to me too that like I was leaning toward Tina and Tara keeping Kiefer as a good thing over Toya. I'm feeling even stronger about it now. The fact that Kiefer is like locked in with Tina and Tara. Is very good for them, especially because he is retaining his connections to the Sunsetters. Even if Jed and Ty did win the HOH and thought about like throwing up Tara as a pawn, you would be able to have Kiefer in their ear, like, no, I've got them. You can't, don't put them up. Right. So this is definitely a very good direction for these middle players to be able to pull in Kiefer and see where that goes. But that's about what we have for you here today, unless there's anything else that you wanted to bring up, Mel.
Did you hear them call Kevin Martin not a comp beast?
Yeah, I heard about that.
What? He didn't win games until, or he didn't win comps until the end. That's what a comp beast is. You win a couple throughout the game and then you steamroll at the end. And they said, Dane really win any comps? Yes, many.
Yeah.
They were very wrong. I can't believe they would tarnish Kevin Martin's name like that. Anyways, no, I have nothing else.
Yeah. None of them have watched live feeds, by the way. None of like,
they knew a lot about the show though. I was impressed. They were dropping like straight quotes. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but like Poutine Poppy quotes, like, yeah. So they're at least show fans. That's more than we usually get.
Yes. Kiefer was the only one that had tried live feeds and he was like, yeah, but every time I turned them on, people were just sitting around doing nothing. So I didn't watch. Kind of like what we're doing right now, actually.
Go be exciting. But no, actually, we appreciated the day rest.
All right. So that's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I am going to be back in just a couple hours with Puya to talk about the Circle. The Celebrity Circle UK, where we wrapped up that quick 1 week season. It was very fun. Definitely recommend checking it out. And of course, I will be back again tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern with the second roundtable of the season, where we will update the Stockwatch prices, we'll rate the players, and we'll talk about the week on the feeds, give a nice summary of what's been happening. And we'll talk Sunsetters versus Oddballs in the survey. It's time to choose. Which side are you on? Team Sunsetters or Team Oddballs? So make sure.
I forgot to buy last week or something. I didn't go all in on someone terrible.
Oh boy.
Not like Maggie.
Where'd you go, Mel?
I was on the Beth train.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This might not be too bad. We'll see.
That's what you say to someone when it's like, oh, we're canceling your trip to Disney World. We can go get ice cream. There's something. Today's not totally terrible. Yes, it's terrible. I don't get to go to Disneyland.
I think a lot of people are going to be in trouble. So
yeah, no, it'll be, that's actually a really interesting first week, because usually we get a bunch of people that were just in the middle and then there's a dominant alliance and all of them go up a little bit. And now it's kind of like everyone's just everywhere. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you for tonight. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. If you want to fill out the survey and rate the players yourself or choose which team you're on, I'll be tweeting it out after this podcast ends. You can find me there on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren, or you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarenArmstrong. That's where I will be streaming about the feeds. I play Fall Guys and Among Us, and we hang out and we do all kinds of fun stuff there on Twitch. So make sure you find me there. Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me at, the other side, You Can and You Mel. I rebranded this season because no one could say my last name right. So I decided to honor the great Arissa, You Can and You Mel.
Rob got it right last night.
Yeah, I know. I was impressed. And then, of course, I'd already changed it. So it's fine. I tweet about Big Brother Canada and I have dreams of doing a Big Brother rewatch. I finished Big Brother 2 and then these crazy feeds started. So I'm hoping to start Big Brother 3 soon if they calm down.
All right. Well, thank you guys again for joining us today. I'll see you next time.